In your book, and I think maybe also in your talk with Jerry Katz, I heard you talking a lot about effort versus non-effort, and how, as you understand meditation, it's a very effortless, natural process. In fact, you were talking about studying with some Zen teacher, and the Zen teacher was talking about controlling your mind and not letting your mind wander and space out and all that. And you were saying, yeah, but my natural inclination is just to sort of relax into a vast, settled state. Let's talk about the
Yes.
role of effort in a practice
Yes.
or
Yes.
effortlessness.
Yes. Okay. When I was attending, I've done many meditation retreats in the past with different traditions. And so I guess if we start talking with that, and even with the one that I did here, the 6 weeks, you know, sometime you look at a person and they're all very genuine. But you know, you see some that are sitting there very rigid. The faces is really hard, and you think they're trying to do something, right? You can see it in their face. They're just trying to nail something down. And then on the other side, you have some meditators that are really loose and relaxed, almost as some fall asleep, and they've got this strange smile on their face, and you think, oh, they must be having good dreams. There is something in common with these two types. The minute that you brush them or touch them on the shoulders, or there is a sudden noise in the room, they jump out, startled. And this is to me is proof that they were not here. They were just fabricating something in their mind. The first one was fabricating some really hard thing to hold, to grab, and some state, some mind state, and the other one they were fabricating something nicer, but it just proves that we're not here. And the old practice, the meditation practice, is to be here. If you have to come back from somewhere, then it's not really it. It might be good for concentration purposes, or it might be good for relaxation, you know, what I call snoring meditation. That's fine. But
Sleepitation.
that's right. That's right. And but you know, a person can meditate like that for many years and not get any progress, you know, progress, you know. So I guess the practice is our awareness is composed of two mind qualities. One side is the luminosity, what we call the cognizing aspect, the intelligence that allows us to notice everything that is happening. And the other side of awareness is what in some tradition is called emptiness or relaxation, an openness that allows everything to be in it. And if we stray too much on one direction, we become controlling of our experiences and we tend to fall into thoughts because of it. And if we stray too much on the direction of the emptiness, we become too vague, spaced out, dull. And awareness is neither controlling or dull like a drug-induced state. It's like brightly alert and but also relaxed because there is nothing we are trying to do. So that luminosity, that cognizing aspect, brightly alert to everything that is happening, but also deeply relaxed because there is nothing that we're trying to nail down, basically. And so this is what I call in the book the instant presence. Where, you know, for example, this moment, you know, for example, if I do that, everybody's hearing that, right? Now, how come we're hearing that? Because in each one of us, there is this wakefulness that is always present, independent of our thinking. Now, this is the secret. And if, you know, the old secret of all this entire interview, of all the entire book, if you
Oh,
can get this, you can go home,
okay,
okay?
everybody, pay attention.
Pay attention, pay attention. This is it. This moment of pure wakefulness, if it's left as it is, it is pure awareness. Our natural state is that close. But if this moment of pure wakefulness moves towards a thought, an emotion, a judgment, it becomes our ordinary mind, which also perceives but now it's split in duality, subject-object. So in our day-to-day life, what do? We're constantly chasing thoughts. We're constantly judging everything, right? So the practice of instant presence is basically, or any practice that does that, is to reverse this thing of the mind or what it does. And because the mind existence depend on this continual movement, because awareness at rest is our true nature. Awareness in movement is our ordinary mind. So we want to reverse that, and we want to just rest, like this moment, for example. We just rest in this moment, and we are aware of sitting in the chair. Maybe we are aware of sounds happening around us. Now, we don't move from sound to sound. We're not trying to nail anything. It's better to have your eyes open. I know that in some meditation, you close your eyes, but for this, we want to be able to do it all the time, not just on the meditation cushion. When we're walking, when we're eating or whatever, we want to open up to everything. It's almost like a 360-degree opening as much as we can. And also, we want to be fully relaxed. The right balance is probably 50-50. If you go one way, you become too controlling. If you go the other way, you become too dull. The right balance is brightly alert and deeply relaxed. And you can actually adjust that in yourself. And there are some different little practices. You know, for example, if you start becoming dull, you just sharpen the wakefulness aspect by, you know, being more bright. And maybe this is like put your body a bit more straight. If you're starting to become too controlling, just allow more relaxation in, you know, which feels like a bit like a sponge being filled with water, and maintain that balance. And obviously, because our mind is always, because awareness is always used to go and become the mind, at first we might be able to maintain this balance for a few minutes or seconds. But that's all right. We keep on going back until this becomes longer and longer. And this is basically the practice. This is all we're doing. And we do it with the eyes open because we want to be able to do it driving. It makes you an excellent driver because you're very alert. And also it makes you a nicer driver because you're relaxed. You're not going to abuse anybody, cutting you off or anything like that.
Did you practice something of this nature yourself prior to realization, or is this something that you kind of came up with to help people afterwards?
What happened is I was, this was probably 4 or 5 years before realization, and I'd done other practices. And at that time, I was doing the breath meditation, the Zen type of meditation. And one day, I just heard a sound in the valley. This meditation center was in beautiful part of Adelaide Hills. I heard a dog barking, and somehow it felt like that dog was barking within myself. And then I heard another sound, somebody coughed in the room, and again, you know, and suddenly it was like I was the space that contained all these sounds that were arising. And so what I did, it only lasted a very short time. But what I did, I tried to repeat that by opening up to the sounds around myself. So it was like I was being guided, and also I was having dreams towards this technique. And I never really encountered, I had encountered other varieties of it. And actually it was only in the last couple of years that I've met this Dzogchen master, deeply enlightened man. And he actually has some, not like this technique, but a variation. And when I talked to him, he actually said, oh, you must have been in Tibet with us, you know, you're one of us. Yeah. So it was a variation of what he was already teaching, not quite exactly the same. And he was amazed somehow I got it, you know.
Yeah.
I told him that I had some Tibetan teachers that were teaching me in that period. Yeah. Mm.
There's a Vedic saying, be easy to us with gentle effort.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
exactly, absolutely.
And when I learned to meditate back in the 60s, the principle of it was that it had to be effortless, and that effort would only interfere with the process, because effort tends to sort of agitate the mind and keep it from settling and becoming vast,
yes.
You know, settling down
yes.
and becoming vast.
Yeah.
And also there's this principle that the mind does have a natural tendency to seek a field of greater happiness, and that the more settled state is more charming and more fulfilling to the mind.
Yes.
And so if you're making an effort, then you prevent yourself from settling into that. But if you proceed effortlessly, then you keep encountering greater and greater and greater charm, and so the mind kind of naturally moves in that direction without having to
yes.
be forced.
Yes.
It's kind of like the difference between if you want to keep a dog at your door, you can either chain it up and the dog is straining against the chain, or you can put some food there and the dog just comes and sits at the door.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we must remember that the mind is not like the enemy. The mind is actually awareness in movement. Awareness in movement.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one thing, one force. And awareness, a rest, is our natural state. Awareness in movement is our ordinary mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not the enemy.
Yeah. It's true of the physiology, too. It's unhealthy and unnatural for the physiology to be hyperstimulated all the time. You know, there might be situations in which it needs to be to respond to something, but one becomes habituated sometimes if there's constant stress. And the whole blood chemistry is thrown off, and there's just this constant agitation in the body, which is unnatural and unhealthy. And you know, it's much more natural for the body to be in a sort of a state of ease and equilibrium, and function in that condition. And so, I think what you're talking about is something which might be able to inculcate that kind of style of functioning.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
However, you know, the way you presented it, you know, you said, well, you could be in this sort of, you know, if you can be in this state, and that is self-realization, at least a brief glimpse of it. But as soon as the thoughts percolate up, then you get drawn off. And so that implies that it's very delicate at first, or very, very tenuous.
Very delicate.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that it has to be stabilized in some way.
And the stabilization happens by every time we find ourselves, we are somewhere else with our mm-hmm. thoughts, we just bring it back. No judgment. We don't put any judgment, oh, I should have done that, I spaced out, whatever. And also the moment that you remember to come back, you're already back.
Mm.
So there is no effort. So it's just like little drops, little moments of wakefulness.
Mm-hmm.
And then another, and then another, and they get longer and longer. And then the old thing, you know, right now, most people, we have this thing where the default position is the mind thinking, judging everything. And eventually the old thing switches, and the default position is the mind at rest, you know, awareness at rest. And we still can use the mind. It's not as if we become some mush and we can't do anything. We can't function in the world, and we can't feed ourselves, and we can't work, and we can't look after our family. Not at all. We actually become a lot more efficient, I guess, in life, you know, more efficient, more alive, more connected.